Acts chapter number 5, verses 33 through 39. Only time will tell. You have in life a lot of people, a lot of spectators. They sit and they watch you. They see, they notice the vein in which you flow in. And many of them step back and say, I can do that. Nothing special about what you're doing. Sometimes when people begin to watch you, people begin to want to be like you. What they don't realize is that you are not who you present yourself as being. Do you ever find yourself being strong on Sunday, strong on Wednesday, full of faith, believing that all things are possible? And then as soon as the situation comes your way on Thursday morning, you are the most scaredest person in the world. And you say, what happened to me? The me of last night. In life, you'll always have people that stand in opposition of what God is telling you. You'll always have people to come up. And people will always try to stop you from fulfilling what God has spoken in your heart. It makes no difference how many people tell you it can't happen if one told you it can. You better believe that one. When God calls you into something, God is calling you into your anointed season. When God calls you into your anointed season, you have to remember that God is calling you. And the reason that I'm saying God is calling you, because if God is sending you to do something, God is responsible for making a way of it. He is responsible for giving you the money that you need to fulfill your dreams. He is responsible for giving you the wisdom you need to make it happen. Whenever God calls you, the ride is not on you. It's on Him. He'll take care of it. What people notice about you is your anointing. And by definition, when we start talking about anointing, we're talking about a supernatural power. So that supernatural power that allows you to do something so well and without a lot of effort, other people will look at it and they'll say, I can do that. Because there's nothing special about you in the natural. What they don't realize is that you're not functioning in your anointing in the natural. You have to function in the anointing in the supernatural. So in other words, it's not me doing what I'm doing. It's the Holy Spirit that is doing it. But they look at you and they size you up and say, I can take you on. And so they try you. And when they try you, they discover that you're a little bit stronger than what you look. You're a little bit wiser than what you look. And even though you don't have the formal education to do something or to get somewhere, but when you're anointed to do it, God doesn't need your education. He just needs to favor you. Right. And because God needs to favor you, what God needs us to do is to receive what He has given us. Yes. Now, the Bible declares that before the time was, God knew everything about us.
Oh, yeah.
And because God knew everything about us, He knew everything that we will experience or encounter in life.
Yes.
And so when something happens to you in life and you are surprised by it, God is saying, but that was in the plan.
All right.
Even if it's pain, even if it's disappointment, even if it's letdown, even if it's rejection, even if it doesn't feel good, look good, sound good, God is saying, surprised by that. I knew that was going to happen. And because he knew it was going to happen, he always put in place an escape for you to get out of it.
All right, man.
When something happens, we say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? And God is saying, you're going to do the same thing that I had planned for you in the beginning. See, God is not surprised when things begin to happen in life. When things begin to happen, the things that we look at is really not reality. The economy that you look at is not reality. That's not your reality. Because your faith allows you to see it in the natural, but in the supernatural, I'm holding on to the fact that God will supply all of my needs. I'm not worried about a job. I'm not worried about an unemployment line. I'm not worried about a layoff. As long as I'm connected with Him and I abide with Him and He abide with me, everything else.
All right,
now. It's all right. Peter and the disciples, or apostles at this time. And let me say something about disciples and apostles.
All right, now.
A disciple is a person that is in training.
All right.
An apostle is a person who laid eyes on God.
All right, now. All right, now.
I'm not picking.
All right, now, but you're getting
through. I'm just saying.
All right, now.
I'm just saying that I understand flowing in an apostolic spirit.
That's right.
But I'm not sure if you were born in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s or the 30s that you can really say.
All right.
I'm just saying.
All right, now.
I'm just saying.
All right, now.
Anyway, back to the story. Peter and the apostles find themselves spreading the gospel.
All right, now.
Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit falls down and says, I'm going to empower you. And the Holy Spirit began to move like a mighty rushing wind. And the anointing fell on the church folk.
All right.
There's nothing amazing or a miracle when church folk receive a blessing. You're supposed to receive it. It's nothing amazing about church folk who, when they pray to God, turn it over to God, and then God heals them. It's supposed to happen to you. It's nothing amazing when a church folk, when people in the church come and say, God did this, and God, it's supposed to happen to you.
All right.
It's supposed to. If you don't expect it to happen and you're a child of God, why are you serving God? Why are you wasting your time? Go on to the club. Have a good time. Go on to the juke joint and just do whatever you do. Why you keep coming to church and don't expect your daddy to take care of you? Father, by nature, means provider. He's supposed to do that for you. And so the Holy Spirit in chapter number 2 falls upon them.
Yes.
And so here we find ourselves in chapter number 5, the book of Acts, chapter number 5, and Peter and the apostles are going all about the city spreading the gospel.
Right.
As they go about spreading the gospel, talk about how wonderful Jesus is, and now the anointing has fallen upon them, and everything is wonderful, then all of a sudden they hit opposition.
All right, now.
Church folk will hit opposition.
Yes,
if you are in the church, you can expect somebody or something to come against you. If you're a child of God and every day in your life is Susan Sunshine, you better question your spirituality. Because in this life, in this walk, you're going to go through hell on earth in order to stay connected to Him. You're going to face opposition. And so here it is. These young men are going about talking about this Jesus. And they even added somebody else to the conversation. Now they're talking about the Holy Spirit. I can only imagine everybody's looking. Jesus just died not long ago. Now, who is this Holy Spirit dude? We're still trying to figure out. Did the pigs or the hogs eat the body of Christ? That's why Jews don't eat pork, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
He wasn't resurrected. Mm-hmm. Something ate him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're still trying to wrap our mind around that. And now you tell me about somebody. Not an it, not a thing, but somebody. A Holy Spirit that has the power to come in me and make me do supernatural. Now you tell me about the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended. You tell me about somebody who descended, but I can't see him. I don't need to see him. I find myself going through something in the middle of the night. I can feel his presence. In trouble.
Lord have mercy.
And that's so church-like. If you're a child of God, spreading the name of Jesus, you will find yourself in trouble.
Yes, have mercy.
It's an amazing thing when you're going through life trying to do what's right, because now that you're a child of God, you want to represent. And the moment that you give your life to Christ, trouble comes to you. It seems to me, in my educated mind, that God, if I'm serving you, I should have no trouble because I'm surrendering to you. But somehow God always turned that thing around and said, because in your educated mind, you don't get me, so I'm going to allow you to go through hell so you can see me, feel me in the midst of going through something. See, what we see, it's not what God is looking at.
Oh, I am.
I can imagine God sometimes look at us. Mm-hmm. And just like you look at your children.
Oh, why?
And you say, I have wisdom. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. Didn't work for me. Let me help you. Mm-hmm. But they think because they in this present generation, with their little iPads and iPhones and all this technological stuff, that's hard, that somehow they're wiser.
All right.
You can be smart and dumb.
All right.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
You can have book sense and no wisdom.
Yeah.
And make you look like a fool. And he'll take that person who doesn't have book sense, but is totally surrendering to God, shower them with favor. They get a promotion and they didn't even go to college. They get a promotion and they just got on the job. They get a new job and the unemployment rate is 8% and 9%, because God will always confuse your wisdom. Peter and the apostles going about just talking about Jesus.
All right.
As they go about talking about Jesus, I want to pick up on verse number 33.
All right.
When you pick up on verse number 33, I want you to put a mindset, and the mindset is you will be tested. You will be tested.
All right.
Now, somebody read verse number 33 for me, please.
When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them.
Now, listen. It says, when they heard that. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a little introduction. Peter and the other apostles been going through the city, preaching the gospel. As they was going through the city to preach the gospel, they was preaching it in somebody's name called Jesus.
Yeah.
The problem with preaching about Jesus is that Jesus started messing with their money, and they got upset and say, stop talking about Jesus, because now you're going to have people that's going to begin to follow Jesus and stop obeying the laws of the land.
Right.
That's 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We're not concerned about what Jesus said. Tell me what the laws of the land. Tell me the loophole so I can get what I need to get. I don't want to trust God. I want to trust the system that I'm living in. So tell me what to tell Pharaoh. And then if I figure out how to deal with Pharaoh, I can tap into what Pharaoh has. And I really don't have to lean and depend totally on God. And so they go about and they're preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't you get tired of people sometimes? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And as soon as you get in trouble, hey, where's that person who's been when things are going bad. At work, they come to your cubicle. That's why they may not like you when the sun is shining in their life, but the moment tough times hit, they better go find somebody who's in touch with this man named Jesus. Somebody who knows somebody who can deliver you. So they get arrested. They arrest it. They put him in prison.
Yeah.
They stand the guards around the prison, lock the prison, and then at night,
all right,
the angel comes in and takes them out, and nobody knows they're gone.
All right.
The problem with prisoners escaping is that in biblical days, if Chuck escaped, and Chuck was going to be killed, if I allowed him to escape or he escaped on my watch, I got his sentence. So here they are confused, like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but we soon to find out. And so all of a sudden, they come looking for Peter and the apostles, and they found him down the street, once again, talking about Jesus. What can we do to get them to shut up about Jesus? We put them in jail, they escaped from jail. What can we do to get them just to stop talking about Jesus? And so now, in verse number 33, where we pick up tonight, when we pick up in verse number 33, it says, when they heard that. That is, they're talking about Jesus again. When they heard that, it says they were cut to the heart. In other words, they said, oh man, that hurt me again. Point number one tonight is warfare. 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 There's no victory without warfare. When you see someone and they're looking good, driving good, and everything is fine, and you see that glory, you better believe they've been through warfare. You better believe they wasn't born with that. You better believe they've been through something to get that. You better believe, I'm not talking about working hard. No, baby, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about praying hard. I'm talking about praying long. I'm talking about trusting hard, trusting long. You gotta go through something in order to get victory, and it will always be warfare. Because what you're fighting is not a man, it's a spiritual warfare. You keep looking at Pookie and Ray Ray and them, they're not the problem. The problem is the demonic spirits that is attached to them. Stop. You bring a war against them, but you gotta bring war against the demonic spirit.
All right.
Point number one is warfare. Notice what the Bible says. It says, when they heard that. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. In other words, they said, we're in fight.
I know that's right.
Warfare. They were going to fight physically. Peter and the apostle says, you bring it on, but I'm going to get on my knees. I understand what the battle is. It's not about this. It's about this. When we get that the power is in this right here, and the power is in these right here. I don't have to put up these. I have to put down on these. That's the power.
Oh, yeah.
Warfare.
Oh, yeah.
They thought they had to fight. Now, they thought they had to fight, and Peter and the rest of them were saying, I'm not even concerned about what you're doing.
All right now.
Remember I said that whatever you're going through, somebody's going to oppose it.
Have mercy.
It always begins with warfare. Mm-hmm. Look at verse number 35. Read verse number 35, please.
And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men.
What you intend to do. He moves from warfare to anointing. I'm spelling something. Warfare to anointing. When he moves to anointing, he says, I know what you intend to do. I know where your heart is in verse number 35. He says, listen, and said unto them, ye men of Israel. Now, when he says Israel, Israel generally represents the church, but he's talking about the community right now. Because some of the people in the church that are hell raisers are also hell raisers in the community.
All right. Yes.
Somehow, you thought the church doors had magic. That all of a sudden when they came to the church doors, they became holy. Yes. They're the same, you know what, in here as they are out there.
All right.
Same people.
All right.
But he shifts to anointing. He shifts. He says, take heed to yourself. What ye intend to do as touching these men. The Bible says, touch not the anointed. So he says, now the anointing is upon them. Don't touch them. I'm telling you. Now you may be taller than they are. You may be in a better position. Your rank may be higher, but don't touch them. I know he doesn't look like much and she doesn't look like much, but God is saying, but that's mine. Touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. I don't care what you think about the person. Don't you touch it. When you touch God's anointing in a person, you're dealing with God himself.
Right now.
Ask David. David says, Saul is a fool, but that's God's fool. That's God's anointing, and I will touch not God's anointing. I'm not talking about what you elevated. I'm talking about what God anointed. I'm not talking about what you promoted, because a man can promote you, they can demote you. I'm talking about what God did.
Hallelujah.
So he begins to identify the anointing.
Oh, yeah.
He says, don't touch him.
All right.
Look at verse number 36, please.
For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught.
Watch this. In church, you'll always have church splits. In church, you'll always have cliques. Sometimes I've learned, as a pastor of a church, if you don't do what people tell you to do, sometimes they'll walk away.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll take their cousins, and their wives, and their children, and their friends, and their family, and their co-workers. They'll take everybody with them. But if they brought them here, they all need to leave. Now we're getting into something. He says that he was boasting. He was all prideful. In other words, he moves from warfare to anointing, and now he deals with the speech. What you say? I know how to get rid of this church. I'll leave and take my family. Don't you know God says, upon this rock I'll build my church? You can't stop no church.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I told you a couple weeks ago, it's already paid for. I only need a co-signer when I gotta do it. But when God called me, God sanctified me, God sent me, baby, it's already paid for. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm going anyway in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He begins to deal with the speech in verse number 36. Now, go to verse number 37, please.
After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished and all, even as many as obeyed him were dispersed.
Now, Thaddeus rose up. You see the word rose up? You see it rose up? And then the next verse, it starts off, somebody else rose up.
Yeah.
So I'll leave. And if I leave, that'll kill. Now, some fool stays. And they see that the church still is going on after the first set left.
Yeah.
But they think if they leave in a second wave, that they'll kill it. If it didn't work the first time,
you
it ain't the second time. But notice he says, but they rose up.
Yes.
He moves from warfare to anointing to speech. And now he says somebody else tested. Don't know what you're going through, but it's just a test. One thing I know about the teacher, and that is he won't give you the test until he has first ensured that you can pass the test and you've covered the material. So whatever you're going through, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. No, just don't tell everybody. When you begin to go through a test, understand that the cheat sheet is my past experience. I've been through something like that. If God showed up in that mess, he'll show up in this mess. If he didn't leave me then, he won't leave me now. If it worked for me then in my past, it's going to work for me now. It's just a test what you're going through. It's just a test. So you begin to go through something. You begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And it seems like God is really, really quiet in the midst of your test, in the midst of your mess. You've got to remember that when you're taking the exam, you can't cheat off somebody else. And some folk don't like others to be talking. So in the midst of going through something, your test, you need to know somebody else may be taking the same test. So God has to be quiet so you can reflect.
All right.
In the midst of going through something, you got to recall your experiences. I've been down this road. It wasn't A Street, it was Z Street. But the same road is on the same God's path. And if God brought me through that time, he's going to bring me through again. What I'm going through is just a test. So somebody else rose up again. He says this time Judas of Galilee rose up. He took some folks. And when he took folk, what happened to them? They perished.
Yes.
Look at verse number 38, please.
And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone.
He says, listen. He says, I'm telling you. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. He says, refrain from these men.
All right.
Now, in verse number 34, this is Gamaliel, the doctor of law, that is speaking.
All right.
You got to watch this. Gamaliel understood law. But he didn't get grace. Law says I gotta earn this. Law says the book says 1 + 1 = 2. The law, the book says a check for $500 can't pay a $1,500 mortgage. That's what the law says. Grace says no job and I'll still make the mortgage. Grace says no friends and I'll still supply all of your needs. He understood the law, but he didn't get grace. But he knew that they were anointed, so he says, refrain. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. I told you earlier, if you want to know if someone is anointed, try.
All right, now.
Just try. Just try. See, you think they're doing it on their own. They're doing it with an anointing. Because the truth of the matter, even the person that is anointed to do it, go home and cry and say, Lord, how is this thing going to work?
Yeah, my God.
Amen. All right, now. Y'all act like I'm talking. Come to church, full of faith. Go home and say, Lord, I don't know how this thing going to work out.
Amen.
See, that's why we have to stay in the Spirit. It is in the Spirit that the anointing flows. When I step outside of the Spirit, I'm in the natural. In the natural, God is not doing the supernatural for me. Now, he protects my crazy self till my faith builds back up and I step back in the supernatural. That's what grace does. Grace protects you. But what God wants us to do is to understand that men is supposed to pray without ceasing.
All right.
How do you pray without ceasing? I can't walk around all day praying, Lord, Lord, Lord. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, let this mind be in you.
Yes.
See, if I'm thinking about him, he says, you're still talking to me. And if you talk to me, he says, I'll talk right back to you. If you talk to your devil, he says, I'll move him out of your way. If you're going through something and you see no way, he says, if you just talk to me, just turn it over to me, just whisper a little prayer. And I'm glad in the midst of going through something, I don't have to give him a long prayer. I'm glad when I'm going through something, if I just say, Lord, God knows. He knows my ups, he knows my downs, my ins, my outs. He knows everything about me. Look at the next verse, please. Verse number 39.
But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow, lest haply he be found even to fight against God.
Read that again.
But if it be of God.
If Gamaliel says, if these men are of God. Keep reading.
You cannot overthrow it.
Say that again.
You cannot overthrow it.
If this person is operating in the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, you may not like them, but if, by any chance, if they are, you can't overthrow it. You can stop it. So he moves then and say, now, I introduced you to warfare. Mm-hmm. I move from warfare to anointing, from anointing to speech, from speech to test, and now I want to talk about a fact. A fact. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, now, if they are of God, what you're doing is a non-fact. Did you get it? W-A-S-T-E. You wasting your time trying to stop a child of God. When God calls you to something, it shall be done. I don't care how many haters you got, they wasting their time because they can't stop you, because you understand that the warfare that you're going into, the warfare prayer, once you understand that, you understand the weapon to the warfare is my anointing. When my anointing is in place, when I'm in line with my anointing, there's nothing that I can't do. I just gotta speak it. Gotta get my speech right. When my speech get right, I gotta understand God gonna test it one day. One day you're gonna have to believe all things. One day God is gonna test it. One day you're gonna have to stand on his word when you don't see God. One day you're gonna have to consider yourself healed even though you got a lump in your breast. One day you're gonna have to prove all things. Stand against all things. One day you will be tested. When you are tested, understand that what the enemy has is a non-effect. They're just wasting their time. Just wasting their time. See, now, so what they say is that now, if they are of God, you cannot overthrow them. Keep reading, please.
All right, now.
Lest haply you be found even to fight against.
Fighting who?
Fight against.
See, now God tells these folk that if you are against my anointed one, that's you. He says, you are against me. God takes it personal when somebody do you wrong. Listen, revenge is mine, said the Lord. Revenge is mine, said the Lord. But vindication is yours. You don't have to prove to somebody that you anointed. Just keep on walking in it.
All right, now.
See, your vindication is that you don't get through whatever it is that you're going through. The vindication is that you can't overthrow it. The vindication is that you can't stop me. I don't have to prove anything, and you wasting your time trying to stop me. And so what they do is they release him from jail, or the angel comes down and the angel releases him. And he says, now, if they are of God, you wasting your time, you might as well leave alone. You're going to find yourself fighting against God. Keep reading, please. Verse number 40.
And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus.
Whose name?
In the name of Jesus.
That's what it's all about. The name of Jesus. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's about the name of Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. Healing is in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is in the name of Jesus. I get my tithes in the name of Jesus. I get my healing in the name of Jesus. I get my strength in the name of Jesus. What do you call on the name of Jesus for? What is it that you want Jesus to do?
council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Rejoicing that they were counted worthy. I've been through hell, but I counted worthy because I went through in his name. They don't like you or dislike you because of your little name.
Right.
It's because the name of Jesus. That's what they dislike. Keep reading.
And daily in the temple.
Daily.
When?
Daily.
Now, you put me in prison. The angel has to come and rescue me in the middle of the night. And then even though Gamaliel tell you to let me go, before you let me go, you beat me just to show folk you can do it. And now I've done all that. And then every day,
daily
in the temple. They don't go in the backyard and try to hide it. They go in the temple every day. In other words, the little stuff that you've been through cannot stop you. In other words, the little stuff that you've been through, don't be embarrassed about what you went through. And I don't care if you started, if you caused it. If God allowed it, God wanted it to happen. Sometimes God will let folks look inside your closet just to show them that your clothes are dirty, their clothes are dirty, but I'm a washing God by the blood of the Lamb. If you call upon the name of Jesus, every day he gives you new mercy. Every day he gives you salvation. Every day he gives you healing. Every day he gives you a fresh start. Every day he gives you manna. Every day he gives you strength. Every day he gives you protection. Every day, every day.
And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Every day they walk to the temple. They leave the temple and then it says they go to the house and they still talking about Jesus. In closing, I wonder what is it that you could experience to make you stop calling on the name of Jesus.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus.
One day, you're going to be tested.
Yes, Lord.
Revelation says, a whole book, it's just the Revelation of John. Revelation says, one day the test is going to come.
Yes, it is.
And the test is going to be so simple, it appears. Would you take this mark? It's just 666. You need it to eat. You need it just to live. You're going to be tested one day. See, you got to realize that with your anointing comes responsibility. For God I live, for God I die. I'm going to be tested, but I got to stand on His word. I got to stand on His word when it's in season and out of season.
Yeah.
Because the word never changes. It's a healing word today. It was a healing word yesterday. It's going to be a healing word tomorrow. It's a delivering word today. It was a delivering word yesterday. It's going to be a delivering word tomorrow. It never changed. But one day you're going to be tested. And when you are tested, when you pass the test. See, the worst thing that man can do is kill you. But he has no heaven or hell to place you. No heaven, no hell to place you in. Earlier in this chapter, when you get home, read it. Peter said, we ought to obey God. It may not be popular, but we ought to obey God. You're going to be tested. Obey God, not man. When you are tested, understand that you are ready for the test. Look around today. Signs of the time. Do you really think that Jesus is not coming back soon? Sometimes people are worried about their retirement, worried about getting old. No man knows the hour. But I believe in my spirit that we won't see another 50, 60 years. Or 20 years.
All right, man.
I was talking to my mom yesterday. She said something interesting. She talked to a relative in Pontiac, Michigan. And she said, it's no one time. One time. What I'm talking about in Michigan, it's no one time. Do you really think that he's not coming back? Hey, it was 82 degrees outside today. Do you really think that he's not coming back? Do you really believe that? One day soon, he's going to return. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the ultimate test. Are you ready? On that day. See, he's giving us signs and wonders right now, and he's warning us, I'm coming back. And we just say, oh, we got time. But he's going to break those clouds, boom, and he's going to rapture his children. When he raptures his children, he's taking away the Holy Spirit. He's taking away the anointing from this earth. And so if you left behind, you're going to want to die and can't die. Some of the things that you worried about, you'll never experience because you just raptured out of this place. The Bible declares it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, that may not be a physical death for you, because if Jesus came right now, you're still alive. But the death for you could be when you submitted yourself to him and baptized in the water. That was your death. So anything he could come, but have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? If you have not, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. As we open the doors of the church, tonight is your night. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, tonight is your night. I will not, if I was you, allow this night to escape. If you're here and you don't have a church home, I would run to the altar. I would run to Jesus. I would come as I am. I wouldn't care about what you think. I would come. If you're here tonight without a church home, come as you are. Need a church home? Come. Or maybe you're saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, great relationship. He says, forsake not thyself of the assembly of saints. In other words, he says, you can't be born again and not connected with a church. You got to be connected.